Hallelujah. You guys wanted to grab that, maybe? We'll just take a little journey right back where we were at last week, because I don't think he's quite done with that, but we'll brush it up a little bit. That's in Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you. Hallelujah. Boy, I enjoyed that testimony. And that prayer time was powerful up here, wasn't it? Donna said a liquid fire just kind of run through her body, and she's healed. Everybody else is too. So why don't you stretch your faith this way and just help me for a few moments. Father, I love you. And I am so thankful. Oh, Father. It's so thankful and just humbled by your presence. Oh, Daddy. Thank you. Thank you for my life in Christ and your presence. And more, I thank you for all of these. Thank you for everyone that has prayed this year, fasted in this year, and give 5 minutes of their time to calling on revival for Immokalee. Father, I receive their prayers for me and your grace to me. The person of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ, and I worship you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll read back down through here and catch whatever we may have not caught last week. By the way, we began last week saying some things about Gary Carpenter, and then we did a "We Miss You" and Gary and Sue, and I said if this falls in the wrong hands, well, I had an intention of it falling into the, so much so that I told Kathy walking out, make sure Gary gets this. So he did, and he called me, and he said that they had 7.5 inches of snow on Sunday in Tulsa. Yeah. Homer was driving back through it. Yeah. And so they couldn't go to church. They canceled church. And so he said he and Sue sat in their living room and they said, hey, we got Family Prayer Center of Immokalee. We'll go to church with them. Well, they didn't know what they were about to hear. So they plug it in. He hooks it into his speakers in his living room and it comes on there. Gary and Sue, we love you and we miss you. And oh, and by the way, you have forsaken your first love. Come back to Immokalee. And he goes, oh my God. He goes, I couldn't believe it. We're listening to this. And oh, he said, man, it's so good. And he said, you know, it just, you guys were great. And so he said, man, you know, I'm here on assignment and I've been doing a lot of this for Pastor Dave so he can stay tucked away in prayer. But he said, you know, if you can get a word for the Lord, from the Lord for me, he said, or, you know, get permission, I'd love to come. And then he did say that he and Sue both collaborating in the Spirit. He said, don't have any head knowledge on this yet, but he said they feel like that maybe towards the second half of the year they're going to be released to get out. So he said I will call you. You'll be the first to know as soon as he tells me something. So it's a possibility. Don't nobody email him and say, Pastor Bronk said you guys are coming. But maybe in the second half, Gary and Sue would come down. Wouldn't that be good? That'd be pretty cool. They haven't been here in a long time. Hallelujah. It says in verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Ephesians 5:1-2. He's given himself for us as an offering, sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. And we're going to read what he says don't be a part of in just a moment as we read last week. But last week, we won't turn there today, that we turned there last week, 2 Peter 3. And we took note that this was, in a certain sense, a collaborating scripture. Because Peter, at the end of that chapter, which is the end of that epistle, the second epistle, Peter says, what I'm saying to you is what Paul also has said. Well, Peter starts that third chapter out by saying, warning, warning, warning. In the last days, there will be scoffers. When Peter identifies these scoffers, he's not necessarily talking about the circumventing of the world. He's, as you listen to what he's saying or as you read, you understand that this must be an infiltration into the church. And by the time he gets to the end of his chapter, you really know that it is, because he said, these that say, and he said, there are those that say, the writings that Paul writes, they're hard writings to be understood. And he said, this they do because they're unstable and unlearned. And they do it to their own destruction, basically. This they rest in. And so he said, these are the same words that Paul writes, that I was writing. And he's talking about, as we began to look at Ephesians 5 last week, as we've been in Ephesians for some time now, and maybe, I don't know when we'll finish up, and satellite scriptures and teachings have all come into play in these past few months. But what we saw last week was this. Ephesians 5 seemed to be take on even a more prophetic last day kind of how the church would be affected by a mindset that Peter warned about, and conversely said, I'm a commentary, or I'm telling you that Paul talks about this too in all of his epistles. Well, this is one of his epistles. And this mindset, obviously, by what we began to read here and what Paul was addressing, was at large in the church then. But when we identify it as last day kind of stuff, the possibility is what we were cued in on Peter, because Peter says in the last days these scoffers are going to come and they're going to say, where is the sign of his coming? And then he talks about that the reason why he has not come is because he's long-suffering. And the long-suffering of the Lord is, he says, long-suffering equals salvation. He's waiting because he loves people. But be it known unto you, he says, that 1,000 days is as... How does he say that? 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. Meaning it's timelessness with God. And so he's so long-suffering, and we've been talking about, in fact, Sunday we kind of exhorted on that a little bit, about the timelessness that we're about to enter into, and this thing is coming down, and we're excited about it, and we don't know how much longer, but sandwiched in between is this great outpouring that's going to take place. But the Holy Spirit's been waking us up, and this is just more sound doctrine to understand what we're up against, but what our unreligious, unsegregated, without partiality, loving approach to the rest of the church world as we come into it, because here he's talking about reprove the works of darkness. Now, 1, 2, 3, and 4, there's a strong argument that he's talking about the world. And you can see that he's talking about barroom buddies and ex-barroom buddies and the world system, and that's the way it... But when he gets to 5 here, by using certain words like vain and deception, you have to feel like that he's also describing what Peter was talking about. That these are those who are arguing about Scripture. Listen, your barroom buddy, your ex-barroom buddy, is not arguing about Scripture. He's not detesting the fact that saying, you know what, I don't understand. And it was to their own destruction, because why they were saying they did not understand is because they did not want to rest in the light and who they had become. So this whole argument boils down to, this is not something outside of the church, it's something inside of the church, but what is our part? Because obviously this is not necessarily a reproving against you that we're teaching here tonight, but we're engaging you and saying, look, if it's here by Scripture, it's got to be out there at work in the church. And as revival ensues, as we go forth into revival, we're going to find out that a lot of religion is going to piggyback on what we're doing. And it's not us, but Christ in us. But we're going to get an awesome, awesome chance to reprove all the hidden works of darkness. By our righteous stand, by not a religious, self-righteous, but a righteous stand saying, this is what the Word says, this is how we are, and this is how we act. This is what He says. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanliness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as you're growing up and becoming saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which is not convenient, it's out of order, but rather the giving of thanks. And what we saw last week was this, and I think it was worthy of reiteration, is this, is that the way I've always seen that jesting is that that's coarse talk. And it can be and should be understood that way. But the jesting here, and we read out of that word dictionary, was it was a manipulative jesting that could confirm the stand that this person was taking, that Paul was reputing and saying, don't be like this. It was a lightness that he is rebuking and saying, for this know, that no whoremonger, unclean person, or covetous person, or adulterer, who is an adulterer, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you. I'm not deceived by, you know, the world. I mean, there's not a necessity of a warning to say, don't be deceived by your barroom buddies quoting Scripture wrong to you. Really? The deception's in the church that he's identifying here. And he's saying, look, let no man deceive you with vain words. What vain words? Jesting and making light of God's ability or God's endeavor to grow us up and say, you know, that's okay. And see, Satan is a perverter. Because there is definitely a truth that when you come into the kingdom, you're full of flesh. And there's definitely a balance. There's a truth that says grace is His strength traded off for your weakness. But grace is not a license written to say you can continue doing what you're doing. The new nature, if you do have a new nature, and I'm convinced now that a lot of people, and I'm not trying to throw them all into one bucket, but I do believe that a lot of times we see people and we say, they got born again. Well, you don't see them. You never see them back. And you never see, they don't skip a beat in their lifestyle. You know, we're going into revival, and there's a lot of things that we don't do. Some of the church still drinks, and some of the church still, you'd have a strong, it would really be tough to build an argument that, you know, you cannot. Now it does defy drunkenness. It does do that. There's a lot of things because of revival and the purity of Christ that we know where we stand at. But what you will see if a person's truly born again, the reins will be ruled in. They'll be pulled in. If they're unabated, you can judge this. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed if it's unabated. And there is a grace that says, in your changing process, I am here. While you hate what you're doing, I am here. I will change you. If you are in fornication, I will change you. Come out of it. Don't do that anymore. Don't do it anymore. If you find that you're in that situation again, repent and go right back into God. But the jesting here and was part and partisan to an underlining
thought process that said, they're making light of this. They're making light of it. And the word jesting that we read was really neat. It said manipulative humor, which means, have you ever got somebody to laugh with you about somebody else and you said, you know, so-and-so, ha, ha, ha. And to them, they might have been of pure of heart. But if you had any malice inside of you, it was kind of good to you that you got somebody else to laugh along with somebody else's weakness, about somebody else's weakness. We were talking about that with somebody the other day, and they brought up this point. That was theirs. I'm not going to give them credit for it, though. But this kind of humor here, this jesting, was not just a coarse joke, which it can be. But the heart of what Paul was saying was what Peter also said, hey, Paul's got it right. There'll be those who'll take this gospel of change and going in and light. Don't be part of that. Reprove it. Reprove it. And that's the part that I wanted to say more about tonight, is the reproving part. He said, let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I mean, there could be a likeness in the church world of the necessity for righteousness and a walk of righteousness, and say, hey, look, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, so you know what? God's got a lot of grace for me to change. No, stop doing that. Stop doing it. Stop doing it. It will destroy. It will destroy. So let no man deceive you with vain words. The vain words were like, it's okay. Ha ha ha. It's okay. A likeness. It says, be not therefore partakers with them. You're not going to go fornicate with them. And this, the partaking was this, that you did not reprove the darkness in love. And far more than I can give you examples of right now, there are going to come time in the times ahead that without, and again, I underscore, without religiosity, any kind of self-righteousness, that this is going to invade the church, or it's going to try to make its invasion through the multiplicity of souls coming in. And as you stand up, you'll be able to say, uh-uh, we've been changed. We're light in the middle of darkness. We cannot do those things of darkness anymore. Those are things of the flesh. They will destroy your body. They will destroy other people's lives. You cannot do that. And covetousness, which is what Homer was talking about, he said he may have got in trouble by talking about, hey, we, you know, and I don't think it's, I think it's your right to have, and it's God's blessing to bless you and to have different things. But all we're saying around here is this: we've traded our first love, which used to be the things of this world, and now we've fallen so in love with Jesus. And we're falling more and more in love with Him all the time. And as a result of that, the covetousness that the rest of, and I don't want to, it's so hard to find the words, but nevertheless, so much of is proper. So much of the church world do not understand. They're still, the deeds of darkness are still on their minds. They don't understand that it's still all about me. Hallelujah. It's subtle. Yes, sir. Only the reproving of the Holy Spirit can take the motivations of the heart and line them up to where the true motivations come out of the mind of Christ, and they are there motivated. And I'm not saying that that cannot happen. It literally can. The person can be pure and they can desire. And they can also be corrected, and God can say, why haven't you been hospitable up till now? Because the Word says be hospitable. But why didn't you ever have them over for a barbecue before this came along? Why are you so hospitable now? Okay, God, forgive me. I repent. If this is legitimate, then bring it back up. And if it is, He will. But the subtlety that it comes into the church. Let no man deceive you. Be not partakers therewith or with them. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now you're light. Somebody flip the light switch. Walk as children of light. Now here's the fruit of light. The fruit of light is this. Goodness, righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but the born-again Spirit. They've got a capital S there, but that is your new nature. The fruit that you're supposed to walk in is the goodness, the loving kindness of God, which is the agape, righteousness and truth. This truth, it's truth. And truth stands on its own merit. Hallelujah. So when people are coming in, we're not compounding their problems by beating them on the head, but we're taking truth with goodness and righteousness and truth and proving what is acceptable. Only these components out of the new nature, goodness and righteousness, truth, those things prove what is acceptable before the Lord. They prove my motivations to you. They prove whether I'm in it for you or I'm in it for me. If I've got worthy desires for you. Hallelujah. I believe it's good teaching. Hallelujah. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. See, because the subtlety of this is so slight, and there is grace. My God, how long will He work with me, Pastor? He'll just keep on working with you. But don't give the excuse to go and do those things on Saturday night or next week. Hallelujah. And I've married couples that have lived together for a while in here. And that's great. And I just, you know what? I eat with them and I sup with them because I hear their voice saying, we gotta change. And I say, that's okay. You know what? Keep doing what you're still born again. You're going to heaven. But you know, but here's the deal. If they begin to think this is okay, then I am not working. It's not okay. There has to be a change. This does not reflect light. You can't stand on and testify to people about Jesus and His righteousness and be in that situation. You can't. And yet you can be born again, but keep moving towards the light. Keep moving towards the light. Hallelujah. Reprove the hidden works. Have no fellowship with it. For us to fellowship with it is not we're going to go do it with Him. It's to say, it's okay. Grace is sufficient. It's okay. I don't care what you're doing. It's okay. It's okay. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Well, how do I do that? It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved, how do they reprove? They're made manifest by light. What is light? Light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. So when I'm manifesting goodness, the love of God, people will hear you when you're walking in love. When you're condemning them with a, you're going, you know, no. No. Change is necessary. But don't stop praying in tongues. Yes, hallelujah. Just pray in tongues. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Hallelujah. Goodness, righteousness and truth. That's light. He says, all these things are reproved, and for whatsoever doth make manifest light, manifest is light. Wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. Redeeming the time. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Hallelujah. All these beautiful songs. Glory to God. You know, it'd be sad. Wouldn't it really? I'd sit down and cry. I do not want to think we're the only bunch out there. That'd be a real sad deal. There's millions. Millions. And as I said, some of these beautiful songs that are coming out that we sometimes worship with. But this is part of the reproving, is that you're speaking to yourself in worship. You're filled with the adoration and goodness, righteousness, and truth keeps penetrating your spirit, and you become who you are. That's the trick, becoming who you are. The more you spend time with Him, you lose you, because even the parts that you hate about yourself is you looking at yourself and saying, I got to change. I know, and He knows, but what He really wants you to do is spend time with Him, and you lose you. And the image of Him gets so wonderful that somewhere in that whole dialogue, and somewhere in that all that worship and speaking and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and worship, you lose you, and you lose the aptitude to keep looking at you. Because looking at you is a tremendous deterrent to looking at Him. And as long as you're looking at you and your weaknesses, you can't be looking at Him. You can't be doing too. But the more time you spend looking at Him, you lose the aptitude of looking at you, and you changes. Hallelujah. You changes. And then also in that, He can transfer what you cannot get of yourself. He transfers a knowledge of how already, present tense, He is pleased with your position. And if He gets that over to you, you feel like, oh, you mean it's already a done deal? So I'm working from a place of sufficiency? I'm working already from a place of winner? I'm not doing all this trying to get to a place of acceptability. I'm already. The fortune has already been transferred. I'm already an inheritor, and so I'm embellished with what has been transferred over to me, so I'm just going higher and higher and higher and higher. Hallelujah. So those who come who have been, God bless them, many unintentionally, drank the wine of religion and drank the wine of the falsehood of there's no necessity of change. Oh, yes, there is. But the change is Christ in you. Now drink this wine, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart before the Lord. And then you reprove those hidden works of darkness. And then, like we were talking to some people last night, we said, my God, we don't want to do anything else. I mean, we're having fun. We were out with some Christian brothers and sisters, and we were just like, none of us got drunk tonight, and yet we are just enjoying ourselves so much. Nobody talked nasty. Nobody talked rude. It was beautiful, and I got all I wanted. Inside of this bubble, this sphere of Christ is a world that is endless in life. It's life, and it's life, and it's life everlasting. And the world, the enemy has invaded the church, and the church thinks, I've got to hang on to some of this to suffice my flesh. No, the more you get rid of it and reprove it, you live. The trade-off is great. The trade-off is great. Hallelujah. Amen to God. Amen to God. Father, we love You. And You're so wonderful. So we just keep on reproving, not of ourselves. I want to worship You and glorify You. All glory goes to You. How I love to tell You that. So You've washed us with the Word again. I thank You for every man and woman that is here, and all the elders and all the people, and Your love for them. Father, they're going to hear my voice say this, and they're going to know what I'm asking. And I'm praying to You, but also giving them a cue. Speak to our hearts now concerning the giving and receiving. You've been the one that has met all of our need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And in just a moment, we place these receptacles up here. And Father, again, I say, Immokalee is in revival. The blind see, and the lame walk, and the deaf hear, and the dumb speak, the dead are raised. Darkness is reproved in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So why don't you, at some point, you may just want to sit here. Matt will put something on, and you may just want to let this soak for a moment. But as you're leaving tonight, there will be receptacles up here, and you can bring whatever you have. Let Him speak to you. We appreciate your giving. We're going further all the time in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, gospel entrepreneurs and people that are praying and believing God with us concerning the finances. You're blessed. How many of you have been blessed by the Word tonight? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Sit as long as you'd like. Make no rush to bring this. You're dismissed. Follow your conscience in Christ. Candy and I love you. Amen.